Pray with me this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for being our living hope. Lord, when we look at our lives and what you've done, Lord, anyone listening in this morning, anyone watching, anyone who's present, has some type of understanding in their heart today that we owe something to you. Lord, you paid a price for us. You gave up your life for us, and there's a debt that's there. And we don't necessarily like that feeling that we owe someone something, but God, we owe everything to you. And Lord, it is a wonderful thing that the closer that we get to you, the more we realize that we owe you, the more that we realize you deserve everything that we could possibly offer to you, and the longer we are in a relationship with you, the more pleasure it brings us to admit that. And so God, if there's anyone listening in this morning, if maybe they're just young in their faith, maybe they're seeking, maybe they're not necessarily a believer yet, but just, Lord, to just step out on that feeling, that instinct that they have within them, to know that, Lord, we owe all to you. To just step out on that and believe that and have faith in that and just accept it through faith. Because we don't understand it. It's not something that we just grasp immediately. Lord, it takes time. So God, this morning I pray that we would all just humble ourselves before you, submit to you, and allow you to be our God. Allow you to guide us. Allow you to direct us, because you can do it so much better than we can. Father, we love you today. We thank you. God, just the opportunity to be here in itself is such a privilege, and I don't want us to take it lightly. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. We love you. We pray that you would be with us as we read your word, as we talk about it. God, speak into our hearts in a mighty way. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just want to thank you guys for your faithfulness during this super weird, odd time in our nation, in our world, in our church. You know, as I've said before, we've prayed, we've sought the Lord, we've kind of fumbled our way through this thing to the best of our ability to honor God and what we've done. And so we just thank you guys for being here, for giving us a chance. And so I hope that you are continuing to encourage your friends and family members to come and be present, that we're doing the best to our ability to maintain people's safety, people's well-being, and that's our main priority and concern. And so we just thank you guys for being here, for continuing to be present and supporting Graham Chapel and the Graham Chapel family. Thank you for that. So we've been in several weeks now talking about life interrupted, talking about God interrupting the world to send his son, tearing Mary and Joseph's life upside down before it really ever began. Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit, allowing himself to deviate from his plan that he woke up that day and what he was planning on doing, to be led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and nights, to starve, to suffer, to be tempted. Thankfully, Jesus allowed that to happen. The disciples' lives being interrupted, Jesus calling them, Jesus allowing his life being interrupted last week, which we talked about, the wedding at Cana. You know, Jesus said, not my problem, not my time. But yet he was willing to do what his mother asked him to do. Number one, because he was obedient to God's law. He honored his mother. And the second thing is that God cares. Even if it's little and it's minute, it may not necessarily be his promise or his time, he still cares. Okay, and that's huge. Those are things that we have to cling to as followers of Christ. We really have to make sure that in our life we cling to things like that. So today we're reading from a passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible because it's really hard to understand. It's really hard to kind of wrap our minds around, especially in our culture today and context. We'll talk about that a little more. But also because it depicts Jesus in a very different way from how we're used to seeing him. When you look at Jesus and his ministry and his interaction with people, Jesus was usually very welcoming to everyone. This is one of those instances where Jesus is a little different in this moment. So let's read this together. We'll talk about it. Super interesting passage. I think we got a lot to learn from this morning. So verse 21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then the disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all of her begging." Now, does this sound like the Jesus and the disciples that we normally read about in Scripture? I mean, they're ignoring this woman. They don't even give her a reply. The disciples are like, "Send her away. She's getting on her, like she's not even there." They're talking about her like she doesn't even exist. "Send her away. She's getting on her nerves." Then Jesus said to the woman in verse 24, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Wow. Think about that. Think about how insulting that would be if someone basically referred to you as a dog as you were asking them for help. And she replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great, and your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. So point number one this morning, if you're taking notes, something to remember is you have to be willing to interrupt Jesus. All right, when this woman comes into this, I want us to get the image of what's going on here. I don't know if any of you have ever had the opportunity to meet someone famous or super wealthy, maybe a professional athlete, a musician, a movie star, something like that. But the way in which you go about interacting with someone like that is very tricky. Because there are some people who really like the attention. Like there are a lot of stars, famous people who love it. They love signing autographs. They love interacting. They love taking selfies with their fans and doing all this stuff. And there are some people who actually hate it. They hate the attention. Whenever they go out in public, they just want to be a normal person, be left alone, interact, and they don't want you to approach them. And so you never know what it's going to be like when you approach that person that you admire so much, and people come up and you try to interact with them. And so Hannah's little brother, my wife's little brother, was actually in a movie that was filmed here in Bowling Springs several years ago. He was about 6 years old at the time. And the guy that starred in the movie was a very famous movie star. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to downplay him, because if I was a famous person, I would probably be a little bit like this. As they were filming this movie in Bowling Springs Middle School, they would eat in the cafeteria, and the whole filming crew and the cast and everybody who was in it. So here's this little six-year-old kid in this movie. He's just kind of like an extra sitting in the stands cheering for what's going on, what they're filming. And as they're eating, the movie star sits by himself, does not want anyone to talk to him. Don't approach him. Don't talk to him. Don't interact with him. Don't even really look at him, because that was the rules. That's what he communicated to the crew, and that's what they communicated to everyone who was there. So her little brother, being six, was just a kid, goes up to him, starts talking to him during lunch in the cafeteria one day. He gets mad, gets up, storms off. They never see him again. He never eats with him again. Basically, the only time they see him from that point on is when they're doing the filming. Okay? So there are some people, like, when you think about what this woman is doing, Jesus is the rock star of the day. You have to understand what's going on. Jesus is being followed by crowds. There's so many passages where it talks about where Jesus is healing people. He's preaching to the crowds. He's moving throughout the community, and the crowds press in on him to the point where there are times where he has to get in a boat, go out on the water just so he can continue to preach and minister to them. And sometimes he would be so overwhelmed, he would get on the boat and go to the other side. So many passages where it talks about that. Jesus is the rock star of the day. So when you look at this woman in this time period, okay, Jesus is a Jew. He's with the Jews. He's of that Israelite blood. Super important in understanding what's going on. It was God's command that the Jewish people remain separated from the surrounding people in their areas to maintain their spiritual health so that they wouldn't fall into sin. This is why God commanded this. Not because he didn't like the Gentiles, not because he didn't love them, but God knows how weak we are as people. We talked about this last week. Are you not who you hang around? Do you not act like and draw characteristics off the people that you hang around? If we hang around sinful people, we're going to act like sinful people. We hang around other Christians, we'll act like other Christians. You hang out with Jesus, you're going to act more like Jesus. God knows that. And that's why he wanted the Israelites to remain separate from the Gentiles. And so here's this Gentile woman coming into an area that's all Israelite people. Jesus is surrounded by these people. She's invading their territory. She's sinful. She's unclean. To our knowledge, she doesn't practice the laws. She's not ceremonially clean. What happens when anything unclean touches something that's clean? It makes what it touches unclean. Okay, like if you touch something that's unclean, I'm sorry, if you touch something that's clean, you make it unclean. And so this woman is moving in. She's invading this territory. And she's a female who is approaching a male in Middle Eastern culture. Tons of no-nos, tons of social etiquettes that's being broken right here. She is approaching Jesus in a form and fashion that is completely unacceptable for many, many different reasons. And so you look at this. This woman comes to Jesus for help, and Jesus says no. Actually, he ignores her in the beginning, doesn't even acknowledge her existence. The disciples talk about her like she doesn't exist, send her away, and then eventually he says no. And so I want to talk about this passage for a second, because when you look at what's going on in our world today with social injustice, racism, prejudice, you look at the rioting, you look at the protesting going on. If someone were to read this passage of Scripture right here and they had no previous knowledge of God, no previous knowledge of Christ, no understanding of the Jewish context, the Middle Eastern context that's going on right here, there would be a lot of people in our country who would be very turned off immediately reading this passage of Scripture. Jesus basically says, I came to minister to God's chosen people, the children of Israel. I didn't come for you. That's pretty tough. Like when you think about Jesus giving that response in that moment, that's a harsh thing to understand in this moment in time. So you have to understand, when Jesus is speaking to this woman, Jesus is on a limited time frame. Jesus has 3 years of ministry. He has 3 years to teach about the laws of God, to set the example for the Jewish people. He knows that his time is coming up. He is going to expire in 3 years. He is going to be put to death on a cross. He understands this. His time is limited. Let me ask you this. If you had 3 years this morning left on your life and you knew in 3 years you were going to die, how many of you would let your life be interrupted by things that you didn't really want to be interrupted by? Anybody? We would cling to that time a little more. Jesus is on this time frame. Also understanding that when Jesus comes as our Savior in human flesh, even though he's fully God, he is fully human. And being human, he has to give up some of his God-like traits and characteristics, like one simple thing, being present everywhere. Jesus, in human form, can't be present everywhere. He is with the Israelites in that place, in that time, with them, teaching them in that moment, ministering specifically to them. He had limitations on his physical life. He was under the will of God. He was there to die for the sins of the world. And so I want you to understand this morning, it's not like Jesus didn't like the Gentiles or didn't love them. That's something that we have to understand. That when you look in this moment, you look at this passage of Scripture, he loved the Gentiles. He cared about them. But in this moment and in this time, he had a plan for Jesus Christ that he was executing. He was sent on a mission by God to do a specific task. So I'm going to use Reggie this morning. If God says, Reggie, I got a $100 bill for you. I want you to go over here on the other side of Chesney, and I want you to take this $100 to Bill. Because if you don't take this $100 bill to Bill, he's going to die. And you have a specific task, right? Everyone understands that. And on the way to meet Bill, he meets Joe, who's sitting on the side of the road, who's hungry, don't have any shoes, starving, hungry, and he looks at Reggie and says, man, you got any money? And Reggie says, well, I have this $100 bill, but God sent me specifically to go give this to Bill and not to you. Would Reggie be wrong in doing what God had sent him to do in refusing Joe the money at that time? No. Because God specifically sent him on a mission to do what he's called him to do. It's not that God doesn't love Joe. Reggie can come back. He can get Joe to come do some chores around the house, pay Joe, maybe even help him up, hook him up with a job later on. It's not that he doesn't love Joe. It's what was in the moment in time and the plan that God had. When you look at this passage of Scripture, we have to understand God loved the Gentiles, but in this moment, the plan was for the Israelites. He come to minister specifically to them. And so I want you to think about this. You read the New Testament, the first four Gospels, the story of Jesus and his ministry specifically to the Jewish people. Four. You look at the rest of the New Testament in the book of Acts, the 13 epistles of Paul, where he writes to the church. All the ministry in the New Testament from Acts up until Revelation is mainly taking place with the Gentiles. There was a time and a place. Jesus understood that whenever he came to minister, he had to minister to the Jews so that the Gentiles could be fully ministered to later on. Let me explain it to you this way. This half of the room right here, I'm going to pick on you. You're all heathens. You're Gentiles. You don't know anything about God. Never read Scripture. Don't know about creation. Don't know about prophecies. Don't know about laws. Don't know about God. Don't know about worship. Don't know about cleanliness. You know nothing. And this side of the room, you grew up your whole life reading the Scriptures. You know the laws. You know the words. You understand the prophecies of a coming Messiah. You're looking for the Messiah to come. You don't even know if you believe in God enough to even believe in a Messiah. But these people already believe in God, and they're just waiting for the Messiah to come. They already believe in the Messiah. They just have to be convinced that the Messiah is who he says he is. Which one do you think you're going to have more success with? We think that it would be this. Theoretically, it should have been right, but when you look at Jesus' ministry, he ministered specifically to the Jews, completely based off of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and honoring the faithfulness of people like Moses and the other prophets who were faithful to God. He gave himself completely to the Jewish people, and most of them rejected him. And when they rejected him and they rejected the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ, it went to the Gentiles, and I guarantee you there will be more Gentiles in heaven as followers of Christ than probably what there will be Jewish people. God loves Gentiles as much as he loves Jewish people, but he had a plan and he had a timing. And you look at this situation right here. This woman looks at Jesus and he looks at her and he tells her, I was not sent for you. I didn't come for you. I was sent for God's people. And point number two this morning is you have to be willing to be belligerent. Point number one, you got to be willing to interrupt God. You got to be willing to interrupt Christ. Point number two, you got to be belligerent about it. Belligerent is usually a negative term. Quarrelsome, loudmouth, argumentative. Look at what this woman's doing. She's coming to Jesus. She's begging. She's breaking all the social etiquettes of the day, all the things that she wasn't supposed to do. She didn't care. She did it anyway. She sought after Jesus. She continued. He said no. She continued. He answered her. She came back again. He answered her again, and she came back again, and she even came and she worshiped him. And you look at this, she kept at it. She did not give up. No matter what he said to her, she did not give up. And Jesus may say no to you this morning. I want you to listen to me. There's some of you who are sitting here. You need this today. I believe this with all my heart. There are people who are watching this, who are going to be listening to this on podcasts. There are people who's come this morning already, and there are people who are in this room right now who need to hear this, that your life may not be what you think it should be right now. You may not be where you want to be. Your prayers may not have been answered the way that you want to be. You might be praying about something, and you don't feel like it was answered the way that you wanted to, or it's even being answered at all. You might be praying, and you just feel like it's hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down, like God's not even hearing your prayer. And I'm telling you this morning, you cannot give up. You have to keep at it. This is the whole process of faith, is believing that what you believe God can do for you will happen and having trust and faith in that. And this woman kept at it. Not only did she not go away, not only did she not give up, but look at what she did even after Jesus ignored her and then said no. Verse 25 will be on the screen. But she came and worshiped him, pleading, Lord, help me. He ignored her, and he said no, and he still came and worshiped. She worshiped. Even in the midst of him saying that, that's how much she believed. She had come to this point in her life where she realized, my daughter has no hope. There's nothing I can do for her. There's nothing anybody else can do for her. This man is the only option who can change her life and change my life in doing this. And I'm coming to him, and I'm not leaving until I get what I want, because I believe he's the one who can do it. And she kept at it, and she worshiped him. She worshiped, and she pleaded, and reminds him, this reminds me of the parable of the persistent widow. You read in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's teaching them about prayer. And this is what he says to him. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. If Jesus thinks that this is important enough to look at his disciples and teach them how to pray and to never give up praying, it's probably pretty important. He says, there was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. And a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. It's pretty cool. Think about that. This woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. And guys, you have to understand this morning, you have to keep at it. Your faith is not something that you can just drop at any given moment in time and walk away from. So many people do. So many people just drop and walk away because they get frustrated. They don't see their prayers answered. They don't see the fruit. They don't see their life changing. They don't feel like God's hearing them like they think they should. And people get frustrated and they just drop it and they just walk away. They walk away from it. And you can't do that. You got to keep at it. And you look at this woman right here. If there's anyone ever who had the ability to look at Jesus and say, I'll never follow him again. She came to Christ in a completely unselfish way. It was a spiritual matter. It wasn't even a physical issue. She wasn't asking to be healed personally. This wasn't for her. This was for her daughter. Actually, I don't know if there's anything more Christ-like that you could do than to go and plead on someone's behalf for their spiritual health, to be freed from this demon, and subject yourself to judgment and criticism and rejection in order to do that, and plead on her behalf. And Jesus ignores her and then looks at her and says no, and then even compares her to a dog in his analogy. If there was ever anyone in the history of the world who had every right to give up and walk away from Jesus, this woman had it. And there are so many people that we know who give up on their faith and walk away from Christ and walk away from the church for a lot less than this. But when you look at this passage of Scripture, it's so important for us to wake up and realize that we've got to keep at it. We got to cling to this thing. Jesus told his disciples, don't give up. Never give up. Keep praying. Even if it's something that may not even necessarily be God's will, if you pray for it enough, you might get on his nerves enough. He'll just give you what you want, so you'll pray about something else. You ever think about that? That you can affect God and his decision and his influence in your life? And I want to encourage you, don't just be annoying because you want a new car and just pray for a new car or something like that. But really, like, be mature in your prayers. Pray for things. There are certain things in this life. If you're praying for a family member to get saved, there's no reason why God would not want that person to get saved. Don't give up praying for them. If you're praying to be healed or freed from some sin or addiction in your life, keep praying for that and don't give up, because there's no reason why God does not want you to be freed from that. If you're sitting here this morning, you're praying about a relationship, God, please let me marry Billy. He's so cute. I just want to be with him for the rest of my life. That's okay, but it may not necessarily be God's will. And we have to be willing to understand there are things in our life that we pray about. It may not necessarily be God's will for your life. And we have to say, God, I'm praying about this. I'm going to keep praying about this until you meet me face to face and send an angel to say no. And you just keep praying about it until God says no. But God, let your will be done. We have to be mature in our prayers. And you look at this, a lot of times, it isn't even the fact that God is ignoring you or God's saying no to your prayers. It isn't even the fact that, like, your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. You don't feel like anything's being heard. Another favorite passage of Scripture I have, Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. And you read the book of Daniel, incredible book about this man who was so faithful to God in tough circumstances, prayed three times a day, stood up for what he thought was right, was put in death's way many times because of his faith in God. And in Daniel chapter 10, he's praying to God for 21 days. I don't know if I have that right. Maybe it should be this way. 21 days. He's praying to God, nothing. Three times a day, 21 days, nothing. Doesn't hear. Then on the 21st day, an angel appears to him and says in verse 12, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you begin to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. From the very first day, I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way." The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia is a demon. All right, this is one of Satan's rebellious angels. "Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." And many times you're sitting in here today and you're looking at this, and there might be some of you who's just holding on by a thread, and you don't even really know whether or not you are going to put your life for your full belief and faith and trust in Jesus Christ and really allow him to lead you and guide you, because you've prayed about stuff and you haven't really seen an answer. You've done stuff for the Lord. You've given your heart to him. You've come to church. You know, you've stepped into this, and you haven't really seen a whole lot of fruit come from it. And I want to tell you this morning, there's a spiritual war that's going on that you and I do not see and cannot completely or fully understand. There are things going on in your and my life that God is working and moving in around, and there's a spiritual war that's being fought for this world. There's a spiritual war that's being fought for the people of this world. There's a spiritual war that's being fought for Graham Chapel, and there's a spiritual war that's being fought for you and your soul. And when you talk about God, yes, God is all-powerful. Yes, God has the ability to answer a prayer right now. But guys, God is not our genie that we just rubbed a lamp and he answers our requests like that. There's stuff going on that we can't see, taste, smell, touch, feel. There's a spiritual realm that we are not completely aware of that's going on that God and Satan are battling in constantly. And there might be stuff going on in your life that it's not like God's not working and moving. God is working and moving, and he's not just working and moving, he's actually fighting for you. He is fighting for you. He is working all things out for the good of those who trust and believe in him. And the simple thing is, guys, is we have to keep at it. This woman could have easily said, "No, never will put my trust and faith in him. He ignored me. He told me no. He compared me to a dog." She could have said no, and her daughter would have never been healed. Daniel could have given up. He could have been on day 10. "You know what? I've prayed 3 times a day for 10 days. My prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. I don't even feel like God hears me. I'm not praying anymore." And if Daniel would have said no, not doing it, would have given up, stopped praying, what would have happened? Would the angel have eventually come? We don't know. And that's the thing that you have to take into consideration this morning, is you can give up on your faith. The whole book of Hebrews talks about people walking away from their faith, returning back to their old ways, their former beliefs, giving up. So you can give up on it. You can walk away from it. But if you cling to it and you make this a commitment in your life to say, "I'm going to pursue God with everything that I have because I believe that he is the only one who can give me what I need and what I want." This world has plenty to offer. There are people who have plenty to offer you, but God is the only one who can give you what you really need and what you really want, even though you may not even know it's what you want. And you have to have faith and cling to God and know and believe that with everything, because we can't give up. And point number 3 this morning is, faith is what makes the difference. Faith is what makes the difference. You look at this situation, it wasn't this woman's begging. It wasn't her answers. It wasn't even her worship. You remember that? He said no, and then she went and worshiped him. He still said no after that. It wasn't her worship. It wasn't her begging. It was her faith. He said, "Woman, your faith is great," and he answered her request. Guys, you have to believe with all of your heart this morning that Jesus Christ loves you. You listening? This is the last thing. We're almost done. I want you to pay attention to these last few moments. If you don't believe that Jesus loves you with all of your heart, you're not going to follow him. You're not going to trust him. If you don't believe that Jesus cares about you, you're not going to follow him and trust him. If you don't believe that he has your best interest in mind and that he is fighting for you, you're not going to trust him. You're not going to have faith in him to work all these stuff out in your life that you're questioning and you're worried about and you're praying about, and you're just waiting for God to answer. You have to believe that. You have to believe that with all you are. Guys, faith is what initiates your relationship with Christ. And I'm going to say this because we've talked about this the past few weeks. We've mentioned this. But salvation is not as cheap and easy as what we've all made it out to be. Yes, it is a free gift from God. You don't have to do anything to earn it. But faith is what initiates your relationship with Christ. But it's also what sustains your relationship with Christ. Read the book of Hebrews. Read the book of Hebrews. The whole book talks about people walking away from their faith. It talks about God's children walking away from their faith, returning to their old ways. Faith initiates your relationship with Christ. It sustains your relationship with Christ. And it completes your relationship with Christ. You want to live a Christian life and maintain that life and that relationship with him. You have to cling to your faith until your dying day. Cling to that faith, because if you don't, you're not going to live for him. You're not going to serve him. You're not going to sacrifice for him. You're not going to minister for him. You're not going to witness for him. And you're definitely not going to suffer for him. But if you cling to that faith and you make that your life's decision, your life's purpose, and you cling to this and you're like this woman and she says, yep, so you're right, I am a dog and I'm willing to admit I'm a dog if you'll give me what I want for my daughter and heal her. I'm willing to say I'm a dog because I believe that you're the one who can heal my daughter. She agreed with him so that she could get what she felt like she wanted. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 2a. It says, let me now remind you. This is Paul. He's writing to the church in Corinth, a Gentile church. Okay? Paul, sent specifically to minister to the Gentiles. It says, dear brothers and sisters, I now remind you of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It's good, right? You welcomed it, you stand firm in it. Great. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message that I told you. And guys, I'm telling you this morning, you have to continue in your faith. You have to cling to it. Faith is something that you have to make a commitment to have. It's a lifestyle. And every single day that you wake up and you live provides you with new opportunities and circumstances to display your faith, to exercise your faith, for your faith to grow. Or it may reveal some weaknesses in your faith. And that's okay too. Because there's days that I wake up and there's situations that I come in contact with and people and circumstances where I visibly see that my faith is not as strong as it needs to be. And there are times that I'm able to work on that with the help of Christ because he reveals to me that my faith is not as good as it needs to be. You understand that? We're not perfect. We're not where we need to be. Our salvation is a lifelong daily process of serving and allowing God to work in us and through us and grow us on a daily basis. We have to be willing to let God continually work in us by clinging to our faith in him. This woman had every reason to give up, every reason to walk away. But she had her mind made up before she ever got there that she wasn't leaving. I'm not leaving here until I get what I came for. And I believe in you enough and know that you simply say the words that you can heal my daughter. And there's some of you in here this morning that before you walk out of this room and before you cut this video off or before you cut this podcast off, that you say, God, I'm not walking away from this situation until you speak to me. I'm not walking away from this situation until I get an answer from you. I'm not walking away from this situation. I'm not going to stop praying until I hear from you and see you work and move in some way, shape, or form, because I believe with all my heart that you are the only one who can provide what it is that I'm seeking for. And there's some of us here this morning, we need to cling to that. We need to grab a hold of that and refuse to let go until we hear or see or understand that God is moving and working in some way, shape, or form in our life. We need that this morning. And I encourage you, don't give up on Jesus. Believe in him. This woman broke all the laws, broke all the social etiquettes, was somewhere that she wasn't supposed to be, interacting with people that she wasn't supposed to interact with, asking for something that she wasn't supposed to have access to, but she believed and she got what she came for. And this morning, I encourage you guys, don't give up. She had more faith than all the Jewish people sitting around Jesus probably combined. When you read the New Testament, you read the Gospels, many of the disciples who followed Christ were still working on their faith and their true belief in Jesus, even up to the point where he resurrected and ascended to heaven. There were many of them who still had to put their fingers in the wounds and see him resurrected and see him face to face and run and see the empty tomb in order to believe that what was being said was true. This woman had more faith than all those people. Don't be like them. Be like her. Cling to your faith. Don't give up. God wants to work and move in your life. Even his example to his disciples to pray, never give up. Because there is a great reward for those who endure to the very end. Paul talks about this so many times in his letters in the New Testament. Run the race. Finish the race. Run to win. It's not over when you just say, I believe in Jesus. It doesn't end there. The race doesn't end there. You run the race in order to complete it and to win, because when we cease to exist and breathe in this world, we go into eternity, and that's when the race is over. That's when the race is won. Cling to your faith. Win the race. Run it to win. Run it to get what you came for. Cling to Christ and have faith in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you for these men and women who have gathered here and all these children who are gathered around. We're so thankful for them today. And God, I just pray that you would speak to the hearts of the people in this room. Speak to the hearts of the people who are watching this now, who may watch it later, who may listen to it later. God, you have ordained this moment in time for us to hear the simple fact that you want us to cling to you and pursue you. So God, I pray that we would give our hearts completely and wholly to you today, pursuing you, having faith in you to never give up, because we know that you have something better for us waiting on the other side. We love you today, and we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.